The word says that God is close to the brokenhearted. Isaiah 63 verse 9 says, in all their distress, or in all our distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them and showed them love and mercy. And so that's the heart of our God this morning. So wherever you are this morning, God feels and knows. He's not unaware and unfeeling, but God feels with you what's going on, and he will send the angel of his presence to save you. So today we're going to have a look at a few characters in the Bible, a few stories that you'll probably know really well about people that were in really personal distress in their lives and crisis, and what and how Jesus met them in their need. So the first person we're going to look at is from Mark 5, verse 24. I'm just getting it up on my phone. 24 and through to 34. So you probably won't read it all, but we'll have bits and pieces here. And so we're talking about the lady or the woman who had the problem with bleeding. So I'll read it out to you. So just to give you a bit of context, so Jesus was on his way. Prior in this chapter, he'd just healed a man who was paralyzed, and he was on his way to minister to Jairus's daughter, who, as we know in the story, a little bit further on, had passed away, and he was on his way to raise her from the dead. That was in a day for Jesus. Amazing, eh? So we're reading from 24. It says, so Jesus went with him. That's Jairus. And a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was free from suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see, the people were crowding against him, and his disciples answered, you can ask, who touched me, with everybody crowding in? And Jesus kept looking around to see who had done this. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from suffering. Wow, isn't that amazing? So if we think about this woman, she'd been bleeding from 12 years. You imagine a wound that was bleeding for 12 years. That's huge. And if we think about it from a medical point of view, she's bound to be anemic. She would have low energy. If we think about it under the present law there, she was ceremonially unclean. She wasn't even allowed in the woman's section of the synagogue to worship. She wasn't allowed to go into public without telling people she was unclean. And anyone she touched, they became ceremonially unclean. This was a really difficult life for this lady, and she didn't ask for that. She was rejected, isolated, poor, desperate. Her crisis was on many levels, but she heard about Jesus. She said to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, she'd be well. And when she reached out in the crowd, Jesus felt the power go out of him. Even with all the crowd pushing around him, she mattered to God, and Jesus' power stepped into her crisis and healed her. He said, who touched me? And the disciples were like, well, there's lots of people touching you at the moment. And she fell at his feet. And Jesus said, daughter. Isn't that beautiful? There was a relationship straight away. You know, and all his suffering and all the loneliness and all the rejection, he said, daughter. Isn't that beautiful? It doesn't matter where she'd been, that her faith had made her well, and go in peace and be healed of your diseases. He restored her dignity, her wholeness, his acceptability in society, and the ability to work and make a living. Wow, what a God, eh? So the next person we're going to look at is the woman at the well. So that is in John 4, verses 3, and it's a really long scripture, but we won't read it all, but we'll read bits and pieces of that. Okay. So Jesus was on his way to Samaria. Has anybody seen The Chosen? Anybody seen The Chosen at all? Have you seen this bit with Jesus? Isn't it beautiful? It's so precious. But I won't get off the track. Anyway, so Jesus was on his way to Samaria. So at verse 4 it says, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus was tired, and as it was a long journey, he sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus said to her, I love the way, he's so cool. I love the way he reaches people where they're at. He said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for the drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? And we'll go on to verse 13. Jesus answers, everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't be thirsty and have to keep coming to the water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I see that you are a prophet. And just in 21, woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when we will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. I'm just moving down to verse 24. God is a spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I am the one speaking to you. I am he. Wow, that's amazing. Did you know that the woman at the well was the first person that Jesus actually told he was the Messiah? Isn't that amazing? So she was a Samaritan, a people that were disdained by the Jews. Strict Jews avoided traveling through Samaria because of fear of being defiled. Jesus, being tired, sat in the shade by the well at the sixth hour around noon, and there she comes. He asked her for water, knowing that under the law, drinking water from a Samaritan would have made him ceremonially unclean. This didn't stop him. He was God and man. Let's look at her. She was socially isolated and shunned and scorned by other women. under the law, living in sin, unclean, emotionally broken from many hurtful relationships, lonely, humiliated every day, having to go on her own to get water. Jesus went out of his way to meet her. He crossed cultural and traditional barriers to reach her. The Father heard her heart and met her deep need. And just like I said, she was the first person that Jesus told he was the Messiah. It doesn't matter where people come from. It doesn't matter what they've done or what they've been afflicted with. Jesus loves people more than anything. He restored her dignity, her wholeness, healed her broken heart, and made her free. And she was his first missionary to the Samaritans. Many people believe because of her testimony. Isn't God amazing? So the last person we're going to look at is the man possessed with a demon, and that is Mark 5. We'll start at verse 1. There's bits and pieces. We'll kind of read maybe not all of it, but as we go. So just to give you a bit of context, what am I doing here? I think I've got the wrong scripture. Excuse me a minute. Yep, it is right. Mark 5, verse 1. So just a bit of context. On Jesus' way to meet this man, he had calmed the sea from a raging storm. Just after waking up from sleeping, his own disciples were in crisis, and he calmed the storm. So here he comes to this place. So reading from verse 2. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." And Jesus said to him, "To come out, you unclean spirit." And so we know the story about how these spirits ended up being sent into the pigs and how there was a stampede of pigs going into the sea and they were all drowned. And there were people from the town, looking at verse 14, those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to see Jesus, they saw the man who'd been possessed by a legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Isn't that an amazing story? I mean, you might have read that story many times, but if you think about it, it's incredible. It's an incredible story, and this man was in a terrible state. He was a man created in God's image, and who knows the pain and the horrible things that may have been in this man's life to get him to this very terrible situation. Let's look at his life. He was socially isolated, rejected, feared, and lived among the tombs. What a horrible way to live. Relationally lonely, even forgotten. In society, he was shunned, avoided, chained up. Emotionally crying out, cutting himself with rocks, out of control and probably even afraid of himself. Jesus crossed the sea to meet with him. The Father heard the cry of this man's heart. No one is beyond God's reach. And after Jesus had set him free, he was clothed in sound mind, dignity restored, healed, delivered, and restored to society and his family. That's amazing, eh? That's our deliverer God. That's a God who has a heart for his people, for his creation. John 10, verse 10b says, he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And when we think about you and me, we were all made by God in his image because he wanted you. He wanted a child like you, just like you. He planned you even before the beginning of creation. You were in the heart of God. You matter to him more than you could ever imagine. You were made so that he could love you. Amazing, eh? This song, What a Beautiful Name, says, you didn't want heaven without us, without you. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. With these thoughts in mind about God's heart, where else would he be in crisis? If we think about our own lives, many of you on your own experience with God meeting you in crisis. I was saying to Jeremy, poor Jeremy, I had a bit of a mini crisis a few years ago when I was out walking my dog in the rain. That's what you do, walk the dog in the rain. And I slipped over on some bit of slippery grass and broke my wrist. And I was so dizzy that I couldn't stand up. I was bent over. Every time I stood up, I thought I was going to faint. And Jeremy was on his way to get a very nice hot chocolate on a cold day and happened to say, are you all right, Wendy? And I said, no. So he bought the car and took me back here and went and got my husband. Thank you, Jeremy. Sorry to bring it up again. But that was amazing. And I think God was in that because I don't know how I would have got back up here. So the people we see every day in the North Pororo Care Centre are somewhat like these people in the Bible. Lost, broken, wounded, marginalised, poor, sad, depressed, anxious, bullied, brokenhearted from hard relationships, and yet looking just normal on the outside. We are there to be Jesus for these people. We can't really always talk about him, but we get to show his love and care in a special way. It's a privilege to sit with these precious people made in God's image that he loves and walk with them to find wholeness, strength and peace. Just really quickly, the reason I became a counsellor was because of the healing and wholeness I found through counselling. And I thought, man, God, if you can do this for me, I'd love to help other people. As a very small child, I experienced trauma, and I was a fearful, distrusting person living out of survival from the past. I was a Christian. I was leading groups in the church I was in, and looking from the outside, all was normal. But I found a wonderful Christian counsellor. Thank you, Jean. I'm so excited you're here this morning. Don't mean to embarrass you, who sat with me. She heard me and walked with me over a number of years. She prayed with me, and through counselling therapy and prayer, I'm here today. I'm so thankful every day for what Jesus did for me. So I want to play it forward. And I want to thank the church here too for all that you do to support us. And you know that we get a chance as a team, you know, you and us, to minister to people and show that Jesus still cares in this day and age. And so I just want to really thank you for the opportunity to share. So can I just pray? Yeah, Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Lord, that you care more than we could ever know. Lord, that you are God with us. Lord, within each one of us. And Father, you hear the cries of our hearts. You hear the whispers. And Lord, that you respond. I thank you, Father, that your word says that you hear our thoughts are way off. And more than the grains of sand on the sea floor are your words of love for us. God, we bless you this morning. And Father, just pray your blessing on every person here. Father, we pray that you will cause them to grow in strength and faith and hope And Lord, that you will help them see what you see when you see them. Lord, that they have the fingerprints of God on their life. In Jesus' name, amen.